Today we're continuing in our series looking at the parables of Jesus, and today we're looking at the parable of the 10 minas, or sometimes called the parable of the 10 pounds. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to have it open at Luke chapter 19 as we look at verses 11 through to 27 and try to understand what's going on and what it might mean for our lives today. We ask the question when quite a lot. When will lockdown be over? When will I be able to get my vaccine? When can we go back to church? But we need to be careful that while we're waiting for the future, we don't waste the present. And I think that's at the heart of what Jesus is saying in this parable. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is coming back. And for the last 2,000 years, people have been wanting to know when that happens. But Jesus never tells us when. But he does tell us how we should live our lives in light of his coming back. So in verse 11, Luke explains why Jesus told this parable. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. After 3 years of Jesus's public ministry, there was high expectation among his followers that he was going to Jerusalem to become a king. They thought they were on the eve of a brand new earthly kingdom. But of course, we know that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, but then in 3 days to rise again. His kingdom was a heavenly one, and they were going to have to wait for it to fully appear. But while they are waiting for that certain future, they've got work to do in the present. And this parable shows us how we can live for Jesus today. And it's a warning for us not to waste our life or to try and oppose Jesus as the king. There are three groups of characters in this story. There is a nobleman, there's the servants, and there's the citizens. So let's see what Jesus says about the nobleman first. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. The first listeners of this story would have been familiar with how Herod the Great had to travel to Rome to be appointed king. And the same thing is happening in this story. This nobleman needs to travel to be made king before he can return. And in this parable, the nobleman represents Jesus, because Jesus soon will ascend to heaven and the Father will put all things under his rule. And this is the first really important thing we can learn from this parable, that Jesus is the King of all life and he will return. So that's the nobleman. Now let's look at the servants in verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. A mina was a coin and would have been worth about 3 months' wages. And it's worth noting at this point that there are similarities between this story and the parable of the talents in Matthew's gospel. But there are also a lot of differences. So it probably is a different story given on a different occasion. Because talent is worth about 60 minas. And in that story, they're all given different amounts. Whereas here, each servant is given the same amount. And they are told to engage in business. They're given a job to do. They're given the responsibility to continue the growth of this nobleman's business. And in this parable, the servants represents the disciples, and which now includes all Christians. Jesus is our king, and we are his servants. And we are to engage in his kingdom business. We are to share his love and to spread his gospel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 puts this really clearly. When we are commissioned to be global, spirit-empowered witnesses of Jesus. Just as each servant was given the same amount of money, we've all been given the same task, which is to live out our faith until Jesus returns. And now let's just look at the final group of people. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We don't want this man to be our king." These citizens probably represent the religious leaders that were opposing Jesus' ministry and would eventually plot to kill him. And it reminds us that we live in a world where people don't want Jesus to return. They don't want him to be their king. So we've got a nobleman on a journey to become king. We've got servants given a task to do. And we've got citizens trying to stop it all from happening. This is an exciting setup for a story. What's going to happen next? Will the nobleman become a king? Will the servants be successful? What's going to happen with the citizens? Well, let's find out as we read on from verse 15. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more." "Well done, my good servant," his master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more." The master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities." This part of the story reminds me a bit of the reality TV show, The Apprentice. It's now time for the servants to be called into the boardroom and to show what they've done with their master's money. And for the first two, everything has gone great. They've invested well and made a profit. And so they have been rewarded and they're given new, bigger responsibilities in the kingdom. And this reminds us that we too will one day have to stand before Jesus and to give an account of how we have used our life to serve him. And so this encourages us to be like those first two servants and to be faithful. And we need to live our lives in light of that eternal perspective, that the sufferings or the struggles that we endure in this life do not compare to the rewards and the glory that is to come when Jesus returns. But there is another servant that warns us not to waste what we have given. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth." His master replied, "You wicked servant, why didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away." The third servant was afraid, and so he did nothing with his mina. He didn't invest it. He didn't put it to work in any way. He didn't even bring it to the bank where it could have at least gained some interest. He doesn't even keep it particularly safe, just wraps it up in a napkin. What was the last thing that you wrapped up in a napkin? That shows you what he thought about his master and what he thought about the task that he had been given. The faithful are rewarded, but the unfaithful will be punished. This story is a warning for us not to waste what God has given us, not to wrap it up in a napkin and put it away, but to put it to work. And the story finishes with a further warning for those who oppose the rule of Jesus altogether. "But to those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." This image is hard for us to read, but it would have been how kings dealt with acts of treason at that time. And it is a warning not to reject Christ's rule. Knowing that judgment is coming to this world should motivate us as Christians even more to live our lives to see people turn to Jesus and be saved. This parable comes straight after the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And Jesus has just said that his mission was to seek and to save the lost. And we should aim to live our lives towards that same goal. So as we finish, let me ask you, what are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? God has given you his word. What are you doing with it? Have you wrapped it up and put it away somewhere? Or are you reading the Bible? Are you studying it? Are you living by its truth and sharing its hope? God has given you money. Are you hoarding it all and investing it in yourself? Or are you giving it away generously, investing in the kingdom? God has given you friends, families, neighbors. What are you doing with the opportunities you have to show them kindness? How are you loving others? God has given you the gift of prayer. How are you using it? If you want to see Christ's mission advance, if you want to see our church grow, then we need to keep praying. We don't know when Jesus will return, or we don't know when he will call us home. But we do know how we can live today so that when we do meet Jesus, we will hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good servant." We only have one life to live, and it's not a lot. But when we live our life for Jesus, he can use it to do the most amazing things for his kingdom. Father God, thank you that you have made Jesus, who was crucified, both Lord and King. Lord, I want to serve you with my life today. Forgive me for all the times when I have kept your gifts to myself. Holy Spirit, help me to be faithful with the little things entrusted to me until Christ returns. Amen.